John Murphy and Donald Jones, joined in studio by Eric Wood, Bills offensive lineman, just off the practice field. Eric, thank you very much for coming by here.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
We've been asking people, you know, our listeners and viewers today about who they'd rather see the Bills play on Sunday at quarterback for Tampa Bay. Your buddy Fitz has a chance to play for that reason. Would you like to see him, or are you just going to – you're okay even if he's on the sidelines?
Yeah, I mean, either way. You know, both those guys have won a lot of games in this league. I think, you know, that's kind of the key for them. You know, having a backup like Fitz allows you to throw in a guy who's played a lot in this league, won a lot. So either way, you know, I'm sure our defense is preparing for both guys.
You know, with Fitz, and there's obviously held in very high regard both in your locker room and really throughout the community here, and you're tempted to say, well, he's a backup. Of course you'd rather see the backup. And yet there's that game last year, Thursday night game, where he just lit up obviously a different defense, different secondary, but you know he's capable of having games like that. It kind of is a little puzzling sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen Fitz play a lot of good games. That might be the best one I've seen. And yeah. That's on the heels of the last time coming to Ralph Wilson was the playoff, you know, get to the win and get to the playoffs for them. And I know that was a really tough loss for him. Talk to him afterwards. But then, yeah, he comes back last year and he lights us up on that Thursday night game. So very capable quarterback, very a lot of big play potential. He'll take some chances. I think that's well noted. Yeah. But with weapons like Evans and Jackson, you know, he's got some assets out there.
Right, and that's the biggest thing with him. He wants to get the ball to his weapons, and he has a lot of weapons. You know, he has big, tall receivers. DeSean Jackson still can get down the field. But like you talked about last year, that was like probably the best game you might have seen him play, the best game I think I've seen him play. But then the next game, he throws six interceptions, you know, and it's like Fitz. You know, so that's what really scares you about Fitz. You don't know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get one of those crazy playing outside himself type of games, or a game that, you know, if you're the opposing team, you want him to have.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I've always felt like a lot of times with Fitz, like he wants to win so bad that he'll throw all personal stats aside. Like we'll be down a couple touchdowns and he'll just make a throw, like trying to force a ball, trying to make a play, and he'll throw a couple picks late, and then you look back at the end of the year and he's kind of around 50% touchdowns to interceptions, but a lot of them were in comeback opportunities. I'm like, you can't score 21 points. This is what I would tell him at the time, like, quit throwing picks at the end of the games, you know. But he's just such a hardcore competitor. But, you know, I love him to death. A lot of people in this community love him to death. But all personal feelings aside, this weekend, we need to win.
Do need to win, obviously, and a good opportunity here. And we're going to talk about the Bucs and the Buffalo offense. But let's start with this. You're home this week, next week, and three of the next 4 weeks. And Sean McDermott out here last week on our show talked about defending our dirt. That sounds like it's really kind of a thing you guys have adopted here.
Yeah, for sure. The goals we have to make the playoffs, win a Super Bowl, a lot of that hinges on us defending. We call it defending our dirt, but winning home games. You know, we need a better home record than we've had through the past. We have one of the better home field advantages in the NFL. We have our crowd, the weather. You know, teams coming out here, they're not used to this. You know, the wind, the cold later in the year. So we need to take advantage of it. This is our town, our turf. And we need to embrace it. We need to do a good job defending it. We have thus far.
Eric Wood joins us in studio, and we're talking about this weekend's game coming up, the Bills and the Tampa Bay Bucs. This has changed, too, also, Eric. Last four opponents, there were four top 10 defenses in there. The next four, not so much. Not to denigrate any of the next four, but it seems like you're moving into a different caliber of defensive competition starting this week against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but man, Tampa's had some injuries, and they're getting guys back. You know, I wouldn't. Tampa's had a good defense for a while. They have a ton of talented players. You know, I think they're getting Alexander back. TJ Ward was back in the starting lineup. You know, those are impact players that they've gotten back the last couple weeks. And then, you know, obviously they have McCoy up front, and he's the front runner. You know, he's their top dog up front. But then they have a lot of other good players as well. So it's not going to be an easy task. Yeah, we want to get the run game going. We want to average more yards per carry than we have been, get more production. But definitely can't take this defense lightly.
I mean, well, now that you're talking about the run game, what do you see has been the issue with the run game?
You know, just a lot of little things. Got to win more one-on-one matchups. You know, we're still learning to block this outside zone scheme. You know, we're getting better, but we're still learning the little nuances. You know, even the relationship between the O-line and the running backs and where we're going to fit things. We're growing. And then, you know, we've had some big plays called back by penalty that, you know, those are one, those are big plays that we really could use on the stat sheet. Then it puts us in either first and 20, second and 20, or whatever it may be. And then we're getting in throw situations when we had a defense on their heels. You know, last week in Cincinnati, we get almost a 50-yard run called back. Atlanta, we had a couple double-digit run calls back. You add those to the stat sheet, and it looks a little bit different.
Sure. Right. I wonder, you mentioned about getting used to the wide zone scheme. I saw a little bit up against Atlanta and a little bit more against Cincinnati. It seems like slowly the offensive coordinator is sprinkling in maybe more of a power game that you guys are a little more accustomed to, huh?
Yeah, we'll keep growing. You know, we're going to, you know, each week, no matter who our opponent is, we're going to try and attack what we feel to be their weaknesses. And, you know, we thought the last couple of weeks we could add a little bit more power. And, you know, week to week we'll have different game plans. But, you know, as the season goes on, you know, there might be weeks we have more power, more outside zone, inside zone, whatever it may be. You know, we just have to do what we feel attacks are, you know, is to our advantage.
It would seem like, and maybe you said this the other day, I think you did. We had a soundbite of you, maybe it was last week during the week off, about how the wide zone scheme has potential for this group. And I think you said that you've always kind of wanted to play in a scheme like this as an offensive line, huh?
Yeah, for sure. You know, early in my career, I watched Houston run it.
Yeah.
And I always liked watching Chris Myers on film, and he was excellent at center. And all their alignment would get out and move. And we're getting better. You know, I don't know the facts, but I would argue that Atlanta didn't run at the yards per carry that they are, you know, this year when they first started, you know, got Kyle Shanahan a year or two ago. So, you know, we'll keep growing and we'll keep getting better. I can guarantee you that.
You know, we just have Ruben on, and we always talk about with him, you know, the relationship between linemen, you know, and working together as linemen. How hard is it for you guys up front when you have injuries at the left tackle position, number one, and then you still have this situation at right guard where you have a couple of guys, you know, still battling for, which is what Coach said. How hard is it for you guys to actually gel together in a scheme that you're still learning while you have all of this, you know, guys coming in and out of the lineup?
You know, that could be a challenge, but, you know, I don't see that as one of our top issues. You know, I think it's more about whoever's in there winning their one-on-one matchups, no matter who that is. And, you know, because we had a lot of work with Deion in there at left tackle, you know, through towards the end of the preseason, early mm-hmm. in the season. And then there's, you know, this right guard rotation has been going on for a long time, even through OTA. So, you know, you're not going to hear me make a bunch of excuses with that.
Yeah, and I think that's important to note this too, Eric. And Donald and I hear, you know, phone calls all week long, the last couple of weeks, and people are ready to scrap this, move on, this isn't working. I get the sense that we're a third of the way through the season, but there's a lot more to come here and a lot more, obviously, room to grow. But I'm not sure that we've seen what the Buffalo offense will be when it's all said and done this year. You know what I mean?
For sure.
I think there's room to grow. And I, based on what we know of this group and the personnel, I think it will grow. I think it will get better as we move forward.
I agree. I don't want to promote Bill Belichick quotes often, but I read something he said in a press conference earlier this week, like, yeah, we're not at our potential at week six. You know, we'll keep growing. We're going to keep adding pieces. And I thought to myself, that's kind of how I feel about this offense. Like, we'll keep growing. Yeah, we don't have enough practice time, you know, to throw everything in at the start of training camp. But as the season goes on and we get better and better at things and you add more things, we become more diverse, our running game is going to get a lot tougher to prepare for. And you're right. We've faced some really tough defenses, but those are defenses, you know, we've kind of got after in the past and in the run game too. And I think a lot of it's just those, you know, few plays with penalties, few one-on-ones, you win those, and it's a totally different ballgame.
You've played in this league a while now, and so you know there's a certain point in the season where an offense really gets clicking. In your opinion, at what point, especially when you're learning a new scheme and things like that, we've had people on, even Chris Brown, other people say it's usually by the end of October, around Halloween is when you really start to click as a team. In your opinion, when is that?
Yeah, you know, and you're right, click as a team. And you know, there's a lot of teams that kind of flirt around the pack for about half the year, and then some teams start separating themselves. Some teams start going the other direction, and we want to definitely keep trending upwards. When that is, I don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of confidence that we'll keep growing. We're going to get a little healthier. You know, hopefully this week we can get Jordan Matthews back. You know, our top receiving, mm-hmm. you know, yardage-wise guy right now, that helps. Clay will get back in the next few weeks. And as we get guys back and we keep growing this offense, I think we'll definitely trend upwards.
With Eric Wood, Bill Center, captain in studio with us. Eric, you touched on it a minute ago when we talked about Tampa Bay. Gerald McCoy, we're watching video. He is among the quickest big men I've seen in this league in a long, long time.
Yeah, he's super athletic. We played him, I guess, 4 years ago based upon how the schedule works. Yeah. And he was extremely quick. He's active. He's got the power to go through you. So then as a guard, you always are kind of worried about that. And then a lot of times his moves are more finesse.
Right.
Swim moves either way. He gets off the ball extremely quick. Sal asked me about it the other day, and I said, well, when you know that you're not going to get benched for jumping off sides, you can be a little quicker towards the snap count. You know, they're not putting him on the bench if he jumps.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like the same freedom we give, Kyle. You know, Kyle jumps off sides every now and then. But I'd rather have Kyle in their backfield 20 times a game and get one false start than vice versa. You know, we need him on the field.
That's what's interesting to me about McCoy because, you know, he's a lot taller than Kyle, you know, but he plays like Kyle. He plays like he's a shorter guy who has to be quick, but he's really a big guy who can really beat you with power. And he does. I've seen film of him actually power through guys, and then I've seen film of him get skinny and just beat him with speed, you know. And so he is dangerous, but he's not their only one. Who else do they have up front that can pose some issues?
They have 91 Ayers on the outside.
Robert Ayers,
he's kind of been around for a while. He's got some good finesse moves. He's also got a little bit of power. They drafted Spence early in the draft, and he's quick, more of a pass rush type guy. And then they got Golson, who's their bigger, stouter DN. He's got a touch of wiggle. We're thinking more power with him. And then inside, McDonald's kind of McCoy's backup, more of a penetrator, but they'll play him opposite him when they want to get a little more speed. And then they got a couple big nose guards, Baker, who was with Washington, and Saliga, who has been with New England, a few other places. So, you know, they got a lot of talent, a lot of recognizable names for, you know, O linemen who watch a lot of D lines. You know, they have a lot of guys. You know, when you look at their two deep, you're like, there's no real, like, developmental rookies, you know, young guys. These are guys who are all ball players.
Eric, you come back after the bye. I just wondered, you know, obviously health is a big issue coming back after the bye, but what's the mindset? What can you tell from your teammates in the locker room? It's a fairly early bye, although you have been in camp for about 11 weeks and now 11 weeks to go, so it's in the middle there. But what are guys feeling right now in that locker room about where you're at and where this season might wind up?
Yeah, that's how I kind of felt about the timing of it, too. You know, initially I was thinking, man, that's early, but then it kind of hits about the midpoint. It was a good refresher. You know, me personally, I woke up Sunday morning kind of ready to get back to work. You know, like we took our daughter to Disney World for a day. I hung out with my buddies for a couple of days, went to a UofL football game, and I was like, all right, time to get back to work. I came back Monday, felt great at practice, body feels good, getting a week off, and I think a lot of guys are on the same page with that.
Good luck to you. Thank you for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys.